Europe and Japan seem a world away from Chuck Donahue's farm a few miles north of Moorhead. As he plants herbicide-resistant soybeans on a warm May morning, he's not thinking about the politics of the biotechnology debate. He's thinking about his bottom line.
If I can save roughly $30 an acre on 5,000 acres of beans, what's that?
$150?
Which bean are you going to grow, Dan? That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I don't care who you are.
Donahue is planting about half of his soybean acres with beans genetically altered to be tolerant of the herbicide Roundup. The U.S. Ag Statistics Service says that's about average across the U.S. this year, down 5% from last year. Biotech corn acres are expected to be down nearly 10% this year. Farmers like Chuck Donahue say saving money makes planting GMOs an easy decision. Research by the University of Minnesota found no financial benefit to growing herbicide-resistant soybeans. Donahue disagrees. He says he saves money and time by controlling weeds with one chemical application rather than spraying several herbicides at various times to kill different species of weeds. What does he make of all the anti-GMO protests? Donahue says not much. He says he doesn't waste much time thinking about them because he says they involve a small minority of consumers.
How many of the American people buy purely organic food? Not very many. If they did, that's all I'd be growing. If that's all what America wanted, that's what I would grow, is organic food. They want cheap food.
We've gotten a lot of inquiries that these processors want to make sure that they're guaranteed non-GMO. So we have to get certificates stating the fact, either from the farmer or the breeder, that these varieties are non-GMO.
Tom Livdahl is owner-operator of Heartland Seeds. He sells seed to farmers, and he's developed a rapidly growing niche market selling non-GMO soybeans to food processing companies in the U.S. and abroad. He says he can offer farmers an extra 50 cents a bushel for non-GMO beans, but many say that's not enough. They like the convenience of the herbicide-resistant crop and don't like the hassle of having to segregate GMO and non-GMO beans, an expensive and surprisingly difficult process.
We're still calling out 100 beans here.
At the North Dakota Grain Inspection Service, Darcy Rasmussen is running a genetic test on soybeans.
Okay, we got our 100 beans. We'll go in and put them in the grinder.
After the beans are chopped, water and a genetic marker solution are added. A paper test strip will show if the beans are genetically modified.
It's pretty sensitive. If you had one bean in those 100 beans, it's going to show it.
That means if farmers grow GMO and non-GMO crops and want to keep them separate, they must carefully clean planters, combines, augers, trucks, and any other equipment used to handle the crop. A single bean in the wrong place can affect the whole shipment. Last year, the Felton Farmers Co-op elevator kept GMO and non-GMO soybeans separate and shipped out 250-car trains of non-GMO beans. But General Manager Mike Thompson says the benefit wasn't worth the hassle of testing every truckload of beans harried farmers hauled to the elevator in the midst of harvest. He doubts the elevator will bother segregating the GMOs this year. He says they only made an extra dime per bushel on non-GMO crops.
We have been looking for contracts this year so far, and there has not been any contracts or no one willing to pay any kind of a premium to make it worth a while to keep them separate.
So farmers are left with a dilemma. Should they go for efficiency and plant herbicide-resistant crops? Do they risk a market backlash that will leave them with a crop they can't sell? The world's largest buyer of farm commodities is telling farmers not to worry. Cargill says it foresees no problem finding a market for GMO soybeans or corn. But some farmers are feeling the effect of consumer pressure. The food industry is rejecting GMO sugar beets and potatoes. University of Minnesota Extension Service educator Jim Stordahl says he's telling farmers to be careful they don't get caught in the middle of a very volatile situation.
My advice would be, if you want to be conservative and not taking the excessive chances, I would recommend segregating the crops.
Stordahl says a lack of information about biotech and a lot of misinformation is making it difficult for farmers to know what to believe.
A great deal of the information that the average farmer gets today comes from industry information. I would venture to say that the average farmer really doesn't have a clear understanding on why people are against this technology.
And now there's a new wrinkle in the debate.
A soybean crop yields a more bountiful harvest. A patient has the medicine she needs. A boy can survive a childhood disease.
Amid the incessant farm chemical ads on TV in rural markets this spring is another ad, the opening salvo by a consortium of biotech companies responding to criticism of genetically modified crops. After years of playing up the economic benefits of GMO crops to producers, the companies are pushing the potential medical benefits of GMO products to the general public. The ad finds fertile ground among farmers like Mark Harless. He says he was frustrated biotech companies were not defending the technology. Harless says he likes the herbicide-resistant crops, but the real future for biotech is in pharmaceutical crops.
At this point, the benefits are primarily for the farmers and for the chemical companies, the seed companies. But when there's actually a benefit to the consumer, a soybean that fights heart disease or cancer, I think people will be begging for genetically enhanced crops.
And that's exactly what many biotech giants are banking on. Monsanto recently inked a partnership with pharmaceutical companies Pharmacia and Upjohn. Monsanto spokesman Dan Lemon says biotech companies were a bit taken aback by the resistance to genetically modified crops, but are now shifting the research focus to crops that will have direct health benefits to consumers. He says those crops will provide another niche market to help farmers diversify.
You know, these will be more of a niche market. So we see this technology as it advances that we're going to be producing products for certain end uses, and hopefully this will create a lot of value.
Lemon says the challenge now is to develop a process to ensure the purity of genetically modified crops can be carefully preserved from field to pharmacy. Most farmers simply want to avoid being caught in the political crossfire and wait to reap the financial benefits biotech companies are promising. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio, Moorhead.